Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Ryan Pavone. Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
This is the same podcast, but it is a different episode. Ryan was on our show last week talking about Lincoln University. They had just named a new president. And this week, Ryan is back again as our reporter who covers Lincoln University because several things have happened the last week at Lincoln that we thought was worth a conversation to go a little bit deeper into them. So, Ryan, you ready to talk a little bit more about Lincoln?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So one of the first things we're going to talk about is Lincoln is one of two HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities in the state of Missouri. Yes? Mm-hmm. Harris Stowe University in St. Louis is the other HBCU. So last week, 17 HBCUs had bomb threats made against them, and the FBI has been investigating. Harris Stowe, I believe, shut down one day as part of that threat, but Lincoln had not. So kind of give us an idea as to what Lincoln's situation was last week.
While a lot of HBCUs received these bomb threats, Lincoln University was not one of them, as opposed to Harris Stowe, which did receive one on Tuesday, which was February 1st, the first day of Black History Month. So while Harris Stowe received the bomb threat, Lincoln hasn't received any, so they're kind of just monitoring the situation, and they're in contact with the FBI and other HBCUs around the country just to kind of keep a watch on the situation.
All right. Well, and I noticed in your story that you filed last week, which we'll have in our show notes that will kind of explain some of the background, that Police Chief Hill has been in conversation actually since December with HBCUs regarding a variety of different subjects.
Yeah, so initial reports of bomb threats started coming into HBCUs around December, early December. So Hill said that he's been in contact with several of the other universities and colleges, just kind of, again, keeping an eye on the situation and also preparing Lincoln and their dispatchers and their police department in case anything were to show up on campus or if anything were to be called in through their operators.
Yeah, that seemed to be a very strong message there of, to be aware if you were a student, faculty member, or just person on campus to watch for things that didn't seem right and to report it, to say something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So they were sort of on that state of alert, but no specific threats had been made against Lincoln.
Right.
Okay. So this week, there are some events planned as part of all of these threats that have been made. Can you share a little bit what's going on?
Yeah. There's a prayer vigil for HBCUs, and it's kind of branded as like a unity vigil. So it's non-denominational. So really anybody's invited to come and kind of show their support for Lincoln and other historically black colleges and universities, either around the country or just the two in Missouri.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take just a pause here for a moment. I'm going to put a little personal commercial in here before we head off to our next topic with Lincoln. So this week, we are having an event on Thursday. We're calling it Sundays on Thursdays. Ryan, do you like Sundays?
I do, yeah.
What's your favorite kind of Sunday, Ryan?
I'd go with like a classic banana split. That's great.
Oh, man. All right. Well, this Thursday from 5:30 to 6:30, we're going to be at Daisy Delight, and we're going to it's kind of a variation of our Coffee with the Editor where we invite folks from the community to come in to meet staff members, to meet myself, to ask questions, to raise concerns, to just have a conversation about the News Tribune and the community. If you come in, I'll buy you a sundae, and we'll have a conversation over a sundae. I'm leaning towards, they have a peanut butter one, Ryan. I think I want to try. So, all right. So back to business now. All right.
Yeah.
So next topic I'm going to talk about is land grant. So there are two land grant institutions in the state of Missouri, correct?
Yes.
So what's the difference between them?
Well, the two institutions are Lincoln University and the University of Missouri System. So Mizzou. And they're different because while Mizzou has been, fully funded with their land grant appropriations from the state, Lincoln has been kind of left behind for the past 30 years or so.
Okay. So let's talk first of all about with the land grant. They have a specific purpose. They were One of them was done in the 1870s. One of them was done in the 1890s, correct?
Yes.
And they have a specific mission that's agricultural based, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about the extensions and what that mission is for each of those universities.
The land grant designation is specifically for colleges or universities that want to educate on agriculture and also provide those extension services, which is kind of like the university's way of pushing that research and those ideas out into the community or into the industry, such as agriculture. They often work with like local farmers to kind of implement some of their research ideas.
Yeah. So, well, an example of here in Jefferson City, there is a University of Missouri extension out on Tanner Bridge Road that I know a lot of the 4-H programs are out there. You can also get your soil testing done there, you know, for your farm, your yard, things like that. So it's a resource educationally for farmers and agricultural purposes. So as you mentioned earlier, the way this works is there's a federal match of funding that a land grant university gets, as well as a state match. So how does that work?
The federal government would appropriate however much the university or college gets from this formula that they figured out already. So it's already preset. And once the university or college applies for that and they get the funding, it's up to states to match it 100% dollar for dollar to kind of double the funding that would go to the university or college. And that started around 2000, and by 2007, it ramped up to the 100% match.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, while there are two land grant universities in Missouri, they're funded differently though, right?
Yeah.
So for instance, my understanding on your story, which again, we're gonna link Ryan's story in our show notes here. The University of Missouri's funding from the state is part of its appropriations when it submits its budget, where Lincoln's is more added on. So it's a little bit more of a discretionary, the legislators could cut it, where it's kind of built into the formula for Mizzou. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it's part of the land grant match from the state is part of Mizzou's core funding that they receive every year for just normal state appropriations. But Lincoln's is treated as a separate line item. So like you said, lawmakers can just ignore it or just not fund it for the year. And it won't affect Lincoln's core appropriations.
Okay. So now traditionally, has MU been 100% funded at its potential?
Yeah. So with their core funding, they can totally cover the state's land grant match.
Okay. But that has not been the case then for Lincoln.
It's not.
No. Okay. So this year, as an example, your story mentioned that if Lincoln was fully funded with a full 100% state match, how much money would it get from its land grant funding?
Yeah, in total, it would get around $17 million.
Okay.
In total.
So how much has Governor Parson allocated as part of a supplemental budget for Lincoln for that land grant money?
So far, he's set aside around $5.2 million.
Okay. So with the full match, you're looking at a difference of $17 million versus $11 million, let's say, but round it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So that $6 million seems like a lot to leave sitting on the table if I were out Lincoln, right?
It does.
Yeah. So how big is Lincoln's budget?
Its operating budget is around $50 million.
So that's
per fiscal year.
More than 10% of its budget is just left on the table because the state doesn't fully match its opportunity, Lincoln's opportunity for fully funding. Yes?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you can understand why for years, Lincoln has really been focused on that. I mean, that's year after year to leave that kind of money on the table. I've heard from Lincoln folks through the years how unfair that is, you know, that it's lost potential. So how would that money be used if they had it?
Well, because it's earmarked specifically for agriculture and extension research purposes, it would primarily go towards that department on campus. It can't be used for regular classroom teaching. It can't be used for facility maintenance or ongoing maintenance around campus. So it would specifically go back to agriculture research and extension.
Okay. All right. Well, and that is an area we're going to talk about next, because that's a really growing area in Lincoln the last several years, is its research, especially in agriculture and services such as that. And as a matter of fact, they had someone of somewhat note come to the campus this week. Tell us a little bit about the visit from our federal folks.
Yeah. So the United States Department of Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack was on campus Monday, February 7th. He announced that he was committing about $1 billion in funding towards grants to combat climate change in rural and agriculture and forestry communities.
That was $1 billion with a B?
Yes, $1 billion with a B.
Wow, that's a lot of money. So how specifically could these funds be used?
So they would all fund pilot projects that look to kind of figure out ways to make agriculture or farming practices more climate friendly. The funds could go towards universities. It could also go to state, local, and tribal governments. And it can also go towards like nonprofits and also small businesses. So what they're really looking to do is kind of create these coalitions or these partnerships between different sectors to come up with these projects that would benefit the farming industry.
Okay. Well, while he was there, he kind of toured the campus and he was notably impressed by some things going on at Lincoln. So kind of share what caught his eye while he was visiting.
He started out his visit with a tour of the Dickinson Research Facility, which just opened last September after a fire in 2015. So he was kind of reviewing their research that they're doing there, and he was particularly struck with the hemp research that Lincoln is doing. Lincoln University has the Hemp Institute, so they're doing a lot of research on kind of what strains of hemp grow best in different parts of Missouri. They're also looking at kind of the economics of selling or buying hemp around Missouri and the Midwest. So yeah, he was really fascinated with that research and what that means for renewable resources.
Well, let's go a little bit deeper into that. So, I mean, when I think of hemp, I think of jewelry and rope. And I mean, but it's the potential, the industrial use of hemp is much greater than that, is what Lincoln is suggesting, correct?
Yeah.
So how would it be used?
So some of the researchers there were showing how it could be used for, like you said, clothing, jewelry, but also like building materials. So they had a piece of wall that they made out of hemp.
Ah.
He was really kind of fascinated with that.
So in some respects, like bamboo or something like that it grows quicker than wood does, for instance, that perhaps a bit more ecologically friendly as well as economically viable as a building product.
Yeah, and kind of what he's suggesting, I think, with this program and these grants is to look at ways that farmers could implement, like hemp, for example, instead of other crops that maybe, like you said, take longer to grow or just don't bring in as much value as something like hemp would.
Okay. Well, it strikes me, I mean, this potentially could be something that could benefit from part of that $1 billion with a B.
Yeah.
A grant from that. But there are a variety of other projects and research that Lincoln's doing that could also kind of fall into that area. So do you share a couple of those with us?
Yeah, so they're doing some research on natural plants and foods that grow in Missouri. So these might not be traditional foods that you think of, but they're native plants to Missouri that are edible. And so they're kind of trying to promote those as viable value-added crops that Missouri farmers could grow and also eat or sell to more Missourians to eat. And then they're also doing some research on the best blueberries to grow in Missouri, which is kind of a fun project if you like blueberries.
I like blueberries. Don't
I
you
do
like?
Too.
All
yeah.
right. Good.
And so they're doing actually quite a few projects. They're even expanding the amount of greenhouses and workspace on some of the university farms. So I think that's kind of a commitment to showing how dedicated they are to doing some of this research.
Yeah, I think what's interesting with all those projects is how, you know, when you start looking at native plants and you look at what really works well in this area, this climate, it requires less chemicals, it requires less effort for cultivation. So it's more naturally grown here. And so I think that's a great approach personally that Lincoln has taken towards that. So
I can't kind of get past the amount of value it could add to farmers. So another one of their projects is looking at quinoa as a grain, but also the greens from quinoa and how you can eat the greens from quinoa plants, which people don't typically do. But yeah, they're really wanting to promote that, which means that farmers could sell their quinoa crop for the greens, but also the grain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. More bang for the buck right there.
Yeah.
Well, and I will say, Ryan has been covering Lincoln University for us for about a year, year and a half. And he's doing some great stories on the university. We always welcome ideas. If you have suggestions of things going on at Lincoln, Ryan, how can folks from Lincoln or the community ask you questions about Lincoln or offer some ideas?
Yeah, definitely reach out. You can email me at rpavone@newstribune.com or even give me a call or shoot me a text at 314-580-9443.
All right. Well, Ryan, thanks for joining us again today to talk about Lincoln.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.